news story this week, Marcus, that would be a nerd's greatest dream come true.
Count me in. Tell me about it.
You know how some people like to think have these hypothetical battles?
All the time.
Like, who would win a fight between Batman and Superman?
Pretty much, yeah. That one's pretty.
Who would win that?
Oh, Superman. He's got all the powers.
Oh, yeah, because he cheats.
Batman's like a sort of ninja strength, but Superman could just do so many different things to.
Yeah, well, he can alter the Earth's gravitational pull, I think.
Pretty
being
much.
Batman wouldn't be too hard. What about Spider-Man Hulk?
Ooh, that's good. Strength versus agility and web power. Yeah. Plenty of these things.
I'm going Spidey on that one.
Yep.
But anyway, none of those were actually in the news this week. But what was in the news was Michael Phelps versus Great White Shark.
Man versus beast.
Actually, was it a great white shark? I don't know. It was
a shark.
It was a shark. It was some kind of shark. So you're right, man v beast. Who would win a race between Michael Phelps? I think we could say the greatest swimmer of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. So many medals for the US over such a long period of time.
Yeah, I think most Olympic gold medals, like bar none, out of any sport.
Yeah, I'd say that's right, yep.
So the best swimmer who has ever lived versus shark, who would win that battle?
To me, my initial impression is a shark. It belongs in the water. It's just got, it's built for speed. It's built for swimming, whereas man is a trained swimmer. So I'm going the shark.
That is a good point because, well, who would win a running race out of Michael Phelps and a shark? Well, you know, like the shark is no hope. That Phelps can get in the water, like, and that we would expect he might even be, you know, half competitive is amazing.
Now, when you brought this up, I could not picture how you test this. Obviously, I was actually watching a James Bond film last night and had a shark in the swimming pool, so I'm guessing it wasn't that.
No, this was a lot like that.
Okay.
Michael Phelps was eaten.
Right.
No, he wasn't. It was done in the ocean. They set up a sort of secured lane in the ocean, basically, where they sent the shark swimming down it, and then they sent Michael Phelps swimming down it. So it wasn't exactly the same time, but they both did swim down it, and then they overlaid the footage of both into one film, so you can see them essentially racing side by side, but it was recorded at different times. But the producers have noted it was still quite dangerous because they were still essentially in open water. And this was in South Africa, mm-hmm. which is basically a shark capital of the world. So he was never going to get eaten by the shark he was racing, but they were still in, you know, shark territory. Now, if you're still wondering who won, let me just give you some stats to paint the picture here. And I'm seeing here, I'm just referring to my notes, it was a great white shark. They can swim, they can reach a top speed of 40 kilometres per hour in the water.
Right, that's fast.
That is fast. It's compared to Michael Phelps, fastest swimmer who ever lived, reaches a top speed of 10 kilometres.
Right.
So he's at a disadvantage. Now, they thought, though, that he could be competitive because what he has that the shark doesn't have is stamina. So
what length do we know what length the race was?
It was 100 meters.
Okay.
But what the shark did was the shark swam 100 meters very slowly, and then every now and then would just have an explosion of speed. Whereas Phelps was never reached the same top speed, but you know, was quicker over the whole distance on average, I guess.
Okay. So burst of speed for the shark.
Yep.
I guess if it's got a bloody fish head at the end of the race, it's going to swim a lot faster.
I think they were luring it with something because in the video at the end, the shark leaps out and has something in his jaws. I think it was some kind of, you know, phony bait or something. So that's how they did it. It was 11 degree water. Phelps, apparently that was the scariest part for him, 11 degrees, chilly. And he was also wearing, like, what do they call it? It's a monofin.
Who?
This is what Phelps is wearing, a monofin.
Yes, like a America's Cup, Wing Kill on his stomach.
No, it was a bit different. It was more, it's like flippers, but they like replicate what a shark fin would be. That you know, the fin that the sharks, you know, swim.
Okay.
So his feet go into this thing which makes his feet become like one fin that he can. It's like a mermaid. Mermaid tail, okay?
My friend who definitely listens every time will be very ashamed that I had no idea what that was because he's a swimmer, so.
What, he has a mono fin?
No, but he'd know what it was. I didn't know what it was. I'm thinking Wing Kill, but.
I should have shown you the video before we talked
about it. That's all right.
All right, so I'm going to put you out of your misery. The winner of the race was the shark, but only by 2 seconds.
Well, how's that possible with those speed differences?
You've done some calculations. Well, just, you're just scribbling like a madman.
I guess it's just that speed and burst that you were talking about.
Yeah, the shark must have been almost going backwards. Doubling back and then going forward. I don't know.
Well, I don't think he'll mind losing to a shark. He's had some great wins in his time, but a shark is a shark.
Oh, there's no disgrace in losing to a shark. I can't help but imagine if I was trying to do this, I reckon I would have lost by probably a day and a half.
But I'm sure your speed, you would have clocked a personal best being in shark-infested waters.
A PB, no doubt.
Man versus beast, I love it. As you said, the scenarios that you can come up with. Have you thought of any others that perhaps an animal could take on a person, and whether it's in sport or in any other field, really?
I think the obvious sport, because you think, well, who are the standout athletes? Usain Bolt springs to mind. Mm-hmm. So who could he race?
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking a cheetah or a leopard.
Yeah.
I still think he would be no hope.
No. Although the distance, 100 metres, would a cheetah have that? Can they go for 100 metres?
Yeah, they might be spent after... Yeah, yeah, that's true. 100 metres is a fair distance. Anyway, surely
it'd be good to see.
I would like to see who's the strongest. You know, we spoke about the strongest man in the world a while back.
Yeah,
I can't remember, his name escapes me. I think his nickname was the Beast, though.
Okay,
I'd like to see him arm wrestle a grizzly bear.
Yeah, even if he wins, he's just going to have big claw marks all the way down his hand. But
and if you did win, you'd have to be real humble about it. You wouldn't want to be rubbing it in, because the bear would just peel your scalp off.
How about other fields? Do politics? Do you see anyone any animals that could do a better job?
We could have like a what are those birds that pick at the carcass?
A vulture.
A vulture. We could have a vulture run in the state election.
A weasel with weasel words that sort of evades confrontation.
I can picture a weasel in a business shirt with a tie and like doing a passable job at a press conference. I actually could imagine that happening. Any fantasy clashes you'd like to see?
No, I'd have to have a really big think about that, but I'm sure they are. The fact is, though, the most animals that come up against human would win because they've pretty much got one specialised talent that gets them out of trouble or gets them to their food. So, but it'd be fun to watch anyway. More of it, I say.
I reckon I could arm wrestle a snake. Newsman, a puzzling story this week, I think, about how much money you need to have to be officially rich.
This will be a good one because I think it's pretty relative, isn't it? Someone that doesn't earn too much money might think... A $200 win in the pokies makes them rich for a short period of time, whereas a millionaire might think that's, you know, chump change.
Richness is in the eye of the beholder.
Correct.
That's a famous saying. Now, it used to be that $1 million was the magic number.
Like Dr. Evil from Austin Powers. 1 million.
Yep.
Yeah, that sounded like a magical mark.
Yeah, if you had $1 million, you're rich. But when was that? That must have been in the 80s or something. I don't know. Because now, safe to say, that figure has ballooned.
Okay.
All right. So this company has done a study, surveyed a whole heap of people around the country, basically, and put all that together and discovered that to be thought of as officially rich by your fellow Australians, you need to have $5.4 million.
How did they come up with this figure? I'm still working off the million. I'd be feeling rich if I had a million, but why is it that we need over 5 mil?
Well, I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
I can't explain the psyche of the Australian public, Marcus, but that is what it boiled down to. I guess they questioned a whole heap of people. You know, they do their tricky statistical analysis.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe they had a breakdown of, you know, it means you can have this and that. And
well, yeah, there is a breakdown, and we can get to that. But I'll say this. This is what they worked out. The average Australian household's wealth is $740,000.
Okay,
and that's tied up in property, mostly.
Right.
But a little bit of savings and blah, blah, whatever else you might have on top. So on average, household worth $740,000.
Mm-hmm.
So 5.4 mil is 7 times the national average.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got to be doing a lot better than average to be thought of as rich.
Yep.
Interestingly, when you break it down to by gender, men feel that you need to have a little more money to be classed as rich. So the men think you need five. When they interviewed men, on average, the men said you need five. They felt you had to have 5.9 mil to be officially rich, whereas for women, they thought 4.8. What's that about?
I guess men have bigger ideals, bigger targets, and
bigger fathead egos.
Pretty much, yeah.
So here's what the statistics person said about this. Gone are the days where being a millionaire was the benchmark of wealth. Now you need to be a multi-millionaire to be considered rich in Australia. She goes on, it was Ms. Hassan. She goes on, once you account for mortgage repayments or rent, household bills, travel, and the cost of having a family, there's not a whole lot left over in savings. You can be earning a 6-figure income and still be clutching at straws. What? I think this is just an absolute crock of garbage.
Can I give my theory on what makes you feel rich?
Yep, hit me with it.
Well, I think it's when you've got so much money in your pay packet each month, you don't know what to do with it. So you're paying off your bills,
yep.
You're buying the kids' clothes, you're doing the shopping,
yep.
And you're buying little treats and, you know, maybe a TV or a lounge every couple of months, and you've still got loads and loads of cash just building up in the account. That for me would be enough to be feeling, yep, I'm rich.
Yep. Famous line is that having a cocaine habit is God's way of telling you you've got too much money. if you're just inhaling your money, well then you obviously have got a bit laying around. But like you said at the start, it's relative. To have $5.4 million does not make you rich. That makes you ridiculously loaded. Like, Australia is per capita in the top 3 richest countries in the world. So to be worth that much puts you in the context of the world you're in the top 1%, surely, just about at that point. You're filthy rich. You're not rich. You're obscenely loaded. Not that there's anything wrong with having a lot of money, but to be your average, like they said, average Aussie household wealth of $740,000, at that point, compared to most of the world, you are already loaded. So I kind of feel like if you've got shelter, tick. If you've got health, you know, enough to cover health costs, tick. If you've got enough for education, tick. At that point, you're rich. Everything else after that is cream on the top.
Agreed. Do you think there are people, though, that it wouldn't matter what scale they're on, they'll never be rich? Because in terms of, I'm talking about, I guess, accessible cash, not assets in general. So my partner and I have bought a house in the western suburbs. It's what we can afford. We think it's very good. Mm-hmm. But if I was on 4 times the wage, would I go for a house 4 times as good in a better suburb and still be looking at the repayments each month and going, ooh, can I get through the next pay?
Bingo, yeah. See, so the more money you have, the more money you spend. No doubt. You're absolutely right. But hypothetically, say you were to be one of these people that has 5.4 million, and I have no reason to believe that you're not one of these, to be honest. This is what you could get with that amount. Here's the breakdown. You could buy a 3-bedroom house in Woollahra. Obviously, that's some fancy pants Sydney spot. That would apparently set you back 2.8 mil.
Okay.
So there's a chunk gone already.
That'd pretty much buy nearly every house in Adelaide, wouldn't it? Or there'd be probably...
Oh, yeah, you'd have your pick of Adelaide properties, just about. You could pay private school fees for three kids, all the way from kindergarten to year 12.
Huh.
That would be $1 million. You could also splash out on a weekend hideaway in Barrel. So these are obviously New South Wales references. Mm. Barrel. I don't know. Is that where you'd want a weekend hideaway? But anyway, that's $845,000. You could have a Mercedes-Benz C-Class, $80,000. Mm-hmm. Plus a Porsche.
Right.
And a 50-foot cruising yacht. So this is absurd. Like, this is not rich. This is... What's after rich? What comes after rich?
Mega rich. I don't know. Bernie Tomic rich.
I think this is just laughable. I mean, if you've got all that stuff, you're next level. Whatever the next level after rich is, you're there. Newsman, another day, another terrifying warning from an international expert.
What now?
This comes on the heels of Elon Musk warning us about killer robots.
Yeah, that's right.
Any day that's due to happen.
That was about artificial intelligence, robots getting too smart for their own good and taking over the place.
We also spoke a little while ago about a story suggesting that any day now, NASA are about to announce that they've discovered alien life somewhere.
Mm.
Still waiting on that one.
Yes.
But closely linked to it, Stephen Hawking, regarded as the smartest man in the world, no one, I think, disputes that. He's saying we should be very careful about trying to make contact with any extraterrestrials that might be out there.
What's his problem?
Well, recently, a new planet was discovered which has the right conditions to potentially sustain life. So, he's saying that's great, but you know, we all want to, you know, find anything if it's out there. But let's just have a think about this. It might not work out so well for us, is basically what he said. He says, this is his quote. He's said this in a documentary that's just come out sometime recently, been reported this week. One day, we might receive a signal from a planet like this, but we should be wary of answering back. Meeting an advanced civilization could be like Native Americans encountering Columbus. That didn't turn out so well.
Boom. So, yeah, we come in peace won't be the catchphrase for anyone. Apparently, Steve-O to the S-Hawk.
Yeah, the S-Hawk, exactly. I presume, you know, Columbus, you know, landed on the shores of America. And I'm not exactly sure how that exactly panned out. You imagine that the Native Americans, well, you know, would be thinking, whoa, who's this? What's happening here?
Yeah,
Let's go check this out. And then I think, you know, well, every time a, you know, explorers arrive somewhere new in through history, it's usually been fairly, you know, violence ensues, unfortunately, throughout history.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's said anything too groundbreaking. As you're right. If anyone explores things, feels like they're getting there first, they want to just take whatever they can.
Well, you said not groundbreaking, but I haven't quite finished the quote.
Go on.
This could be the groundbreaking part. He goes on to say that alien life could be, and here I quote, rapacious marauders roaming the cosmos in search of resources to plunder, and planets to conquer and colonise, end quote.
I just got to go get the thesaurus because I know about four of those words. But
well, we don't need to know the dictionary definitions to understand. That but yeah, sounds bad.
Yeah, they sound like some real unfriendly customers.
Marauders, that can't
yeah,
be
that,
good.
I get that one, yeah.
Well, you know, you imagine that scenario he has, you know, laid out there. All of a sudden, you know, we feel like, you know, there's a war on terror and some heavy stuff going on. All of a sudden, that is very much put into a perspective when, you know, the entire human race is enslaved by alien overlords.
It would depend which country they landed at first. I think there's some combative countries out there, the US, a few in the Middle East that would probably fire first, have a chat second. Whereas Australia would probably copper pasting and go, that's all right. We're allowing for Tolerance Week. It's Alien Tolerance Week.
Sweden would walk up to the aliens.
We're wearing green ribbons to mark your arrival.
Yeah.
But no, I don't. I think he's probably on the money.
Mm. Well, if he is, it's scary because he also says that he's pretty sure that there is something out there. He reckons after a lifetime of wondering and, you know, thinking and researching, he reckons the chances are just too. It's just very much more likely than not that there is something.
So what should we do then? I mean, I've been sitting on the roof every night since we did that story about extraterrestrial life and that being a certainty, waiting for them to come. Now I'm thinking maybe I should build a panic shelter or panic room and just hide in that.
The idea comes to me that we could kill two birds with one stone, okay, so to speak, by sending out our robots to encounter the aliens first, so that if the aliens are as mean as Stephen Hawking suggests they might be, then it will be the robots who are about to turn on us any day anyway. The robots can cop the wrath.
Well, wouldn't that be the irony if the robots did take over the Earth, only for the aliens to come and smash them up and take over?
It's a rosy future. Who would you rather be enslaved by, the robots or the aliens? Either way, we are getting... it looks like human race is shaping up for to be taken down a peg, down the pecking order, in the near to medium future, perhaps.
Web Guide, the dating game, thankfully for you and me, is well and truly over. But people take a lot of effort in finding that perfect match, or at least someone to hang out with in that sort of romantic side of things. Pretty radical test going around, I believe.
Yeah, in the news this week, and as you say, we should point out this is not so pertinent to us. Really just raising this one as a community service to some people
thinking
out
back
there
on disastrous states and things like that, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
And no, you just had the one true love.
Yeah. Well, but if you are in that phase of, you know, the dating game, then this is some info you want to know, because noticing a flurry of stories coming out about how to identify a psychopath. Apparently it's, you know, it must be a real world issue a lot of people are facing.
Yeah, I guess I'm guessing it's probably more for women than men, but I guess there's a few women psychopaths out there when you're in the dating game.
Yeah, men psychopaths do feel like they'd be scarier than women psychopaths, don't they? Although, I
more
don't know.
More prevalent.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I saw this headline this week. How's this for a headline? Try resisting clicking on this. 5 of your Facebook friends are psychos.
Okay, so...
Five.
I wonder how many friends an average person has on Facebook. I guess that's a issue for another.
Yeah.
So say I might have 150. Mm-hmm. So one in every 30.
Mm.
One in 30 people on my Facebook list, psychopaths.
Yeah. So I've hunted down some research. These are the warning signs that you might be dating a psychopath. So this is in the context of the dating game. Given that, you know, there's so many of these nut jobs floating around, apparently. How do you know if you're dating one of them? Are you keen?
I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
All right. Well, first off, they lie constantly.
Okay.
So, and here's the thing. They lie about unnecessary things. Like, just when they don't even have to lie, they are lying.
I've known a few people over the journey that do that. You think, why did you make that a big lie when a simple explanation would have been fine?
Yeah. So if you start picking up on just lie after lie, then okay, take note. Not saying they're a psychopath yet, but let's dig a little deeper.
Little warning beep, it might be just starting to flicker.
Yep. One flash on the red beeping light. Now, following up from this, if you do think you've caught them out in a lie, this is what a psychopath does. They will deny their own previous statements and behavior. So you call them out on something, they'll just flatly deny it. No, never happened.
Okay. Yep, that seems not crazy yet, but yeah, mm-hmm. something to be concerned about.
So you've caught them out in a lie, and then they completely deny what they've done. So this is two strikes now. Okay, so when you're meeting a psychopath for the first time, and you know, statistically speaking, we all have.
Yes.
They are incredibly charming, but in exactly the way you like to be charmed. So what that means is they'll just mirror your own hopes and dreams.
Sounds like a evil villain in a comic strip, doesn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm. So you'll find this person is like, oh, wow, you love unicorns? I love unicorns too. And you get this feeling that this person and me, we just share all the same passions.
Hey, Marcus, Star Wars and Simpsons, really cool.
Yes.
I can't believe any other girls haven't liked that.
For you, that would be a big red flag.
Seinfeld
right there.
Too, wow.
Yep. Now, related to this, they will kind of, you'll find them playing on what your deepest, darkest insecurities are. So if you're a shy person, a psychopath, it's such a funny word to keep using. I don't know why, nothing funny about it really, but the psychopath will make you, as a shy person, suddenly feel like, I'm really interesting. Or, you know, if you're very self-conscious about your weight, they'll make you feel like, hey, you're the most gorgeous person ever. You just feel special when you're with them.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
It's kind of scary.
We all need a little bit of... That sounds like we need that aspect of psychopaths in our life.
And this is the thing. On its own, that's not probably a bad quality at all. But if you're running through the list and someone is ticking a lot of these boxes, then maybe it starts to be a worry. But yeah, on its own, that just sounds like, well...
That's all right. Yeah. Tick for the psychopath.
Who's to say psychos are bad anyway? Well, I guess they by definition are. But anyway, now still in the phase of meeting them, they will gain your trust very early. Now, they'll often do this by sharing a very detailed personal story about their own life. You know those people that just overshare, like, majorly and immediately before you even know them?
Oh, yes.
Could be a bad sign.
I can overshare a bit. Maybe that's a tick.
You've ticked a few of these. Anyway.
Do you want to continue on or you want to get the restraining order now?
So they share the story because they want you to share the story. So, you know, another thing to just bear in mind. All right, still in the meeting phase, they'll be very impressive. And this probably links back to lying constantly. They'll have stories about all this great stuff they've done, you know, amazing business deals, incredible success. Could mean they're a psychopath.
Right. Well, I think a lot of that, though, would be quite exciting. To start off with, big tales of success and flattering you in the right ways. But obviously, it's good to know that some people have some characteristics that are not too healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I always, for some reason, whenever we have these discussions, it brings me back to an 80s movie. I don't know why. But Mike Myers in Help, I Married... No, my wife is a...
Axe murderer.
It's got that feeling about it that he's sort of ticking off the list and... In the end, I don't think she was a... Actually.
Yeah, I thought of the exact same movie. and I couldn't exactly remember the title of it either. I just know it's Mike Myers and it's Axe Murderer. And I ended up thinking... I got sidetracked and just thought, that must be the only movie ever made that had the phrase Axe Murderer in the title.
Yeah. There was one with Ben Stiller as well, more recently, where the wife turned out to be a crazy, crazy woman. But
that rings a bell, yeah.
Down at the beach and ends up meeting another lovely lady. I'm getting diverted.
It sounds terrible.
So the dating game, basically have that checklist ready. A lot of psychopaths out there. To be honest, now
we,
I'm not
sure. We don't want to alarm anyone, but the society is crawling with psychopaths, basically.
That's it. For some reason, I'm not sure I'm clear on what psychopath means. I just sort of have this feeling of a real crazy stalker type person. Is that where it's at, or...? It's more just a manipulating person with a lot of lies interweaved, really, isn't it?
Yep, I think that's what it is. And I guess, you know, there might be a psycho spectrum. just because someone might meet the definition, I guess doesn't mean they are an axe murderer. It just might mean they are possibly more likely to be one. But anyway, just to finish on a final helpful note, if you've found that someone you know or you've met recently is ticking a lot of these boxes, here is probably the last final giveaway. Once they've ticked this one, you've got a verified psycho on your hands. They have no past. You will never meet anyone who knows about them from before you met them. Anyone they do know from the past will only say bad things about them. So they make sure that you never meet them. So if that's the final test. And if you don't they don't have any family, friends, no one that knew them from the past, watch out.
By the way, did I tell you I had former President Obama over for dinner? And don't challenge me on it, because I'm very insecure about it.
You know, I don't remember ever meeting any of your friends.